The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on. If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know. I should know it's on. It's on. Yeah. I should know it's on.
Hey, man, want to welcome one of my good friends. Didn't play with him on the football team for very long. But we instantly bonded. 9-year vet, one time Pro Bowler, right? But a lifetime friend, Justin Forsett. Welcome to the Cut to a Podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm honored, man. This means a lot for me to be on the show. So thank you for having me on.
Man, this is my dog. So
we appreciate you pulling up, bro.
You know, obviously we got the co-host. Gerard Littlejohn, good friend. And then we got Backstage Joe. I'm still trying to figure out, what the hell do you do, Joe?
Better question is, what doesn't he do?
No.
Last time I did everything, remember? I was doing everything. Now I don't do nothing.
Well, it's good to have you on there. You know, we just going to jump right into it. There's a lot of my guys that I played with on the football team, they always like, oh, when you going to have me on the podcast? I don't have the guys that's in my phone on the podcast because I it comes across the wrong way, but I mean it when I say it. It's the low-hanging fruit. It's the easy route, right? When you're trying to do something that's with sustainability, long-term future, you normally want to go to your easy ass, the guys that you could depend on. But that doesn't really push me. Mm. It doesn't make me uncomfortable. Second and third and fourth moving forward, I want to get the guys there in my phone. Mm. But the guys who aren't in my phone, I got to stretch myself. I got to reach out to them. I got to accept no. We received a lot of no's from people that are like, "What? Why is he Steve? He was talking about me on the NFL Network or when I played, he did this or he did that." And so,
no, not you. That's the wrong guy.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. But you know, so it's but I always want this guy on here. Mm-hmm. Right? When we have a lot of conversations, I always want the guy on here, but I just needed to, we gotta show people it's not just a one-hit wonder. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to just be here 1 year and just, you know, kind of have all the easy ask, because we have a real good friendship. So that's an easy ask. You know, I mean, hey, I'm still waiting for my Hustle Clean check. When I get my investment check,
it's in the mail. You ain't got it yet. I feel like maybe it's FedEx, you know, UPS and FedEx. Hey,
we don't mean that, y'all, in case you want to sponsor here.
As an investor, Hustle Clean is not sponsoring this the podcast.
We should be.
Y'all gonna pay?
Hey, what you need, man?
I don't want a bill. I find this a trap. Like, if Hustle Clean is sponsoring my podcast, I think as an investor and then also podcast, I don't know, I'll get an invoice at some point.
No, you're not. It's all good over here.
I'm just teasing.
We'll talk the financials later.
Yeah, we need to talk to financials. Every time I go to the store, I'm seeing Hustle Clean.
Yeah,
come on now. got some new stuff popping too.
You got a whole bunch. Yeah, we got to talk about it. All right, so listen, let's get into it. We got some icebreakers. All right.
Okay.
If you were a pair of shoes, what brand of shoes would you be?
Oh, sheesh. Air Force Ones, a classic, you know, versatile. You can wear with anything.
The white ones or the black ones, though? That's the key question.
No, whites or blacks?
Because the black ones, you put on a ski mask, you run up on somebody with them black ones.
You can roll your ankle in those black ones, too, though. Black ones are stiff.
Like, you pull up with the black Air Force Ones, I know you done robbed somebody before.
No. Just the white ones. Really. Yeah. Just the white ones.
Yeah. All right. What's your favorite snack?
Ooh. Favorite snack?
Oh, I know the next question because we've had this debate. Go continue.
Favorite snack? That's a tough one. I like smoothies. So if I can make a nice smoothie, that's a cool snack for me. Right.
So we've had this debate in the locker room, in the cafeteria. Cereal. What's your favorite cereal? Ugly Face.
Hey, speak to me with some respect while I'm on your show.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
That's a classic too. He just goes to the classics.
I'm a classic man.
So I'll say, like, I'll be like, Captain Crunch Fruity Pebbles. Yo, that's not. Those aren't snacks. He would go candy. Uh-huh. He's like, I'm like, and what is Honey Nut Cheerios? He's like, man, it helps helps keep your cholesterol down.
Justin, how you feel about shredded wheat?
Oh, terrible. Terrible. Shredded wheat is terrible. Steve Smith, another favorite of his is Raisin Bran cereal, which
actually
is terrible.
I like Raisin Bran.
That tells me that your palate is terrible. It
tastes like the cardboard that it's in.
Exactly. You got to eat it quick.
That's why you gotta take a shot of cereal like it's some
bead cereal.
Clear.
First of all, if you pour like me, you ain't letting that thing sit a long time. That's why.
Oh, sheesh.
Yeah, no, we had this debate. I'll have some. He see me in the stadium, in the cafeteria. Yep. I will eat some razor burn. Yeah. I'm talking about murk it. But I ain't letting it sit long now because that absorbs. But when I was growing up, though, I did have some shredded wheat.
Yeah, that tastes like cardboard, too.
It is cardboard.
He has a bad palate. Sorry, like, General if you're not Mills, noticing, right. There's a theme here.
Exactly.
There's a theme.
We're running them down again.
In case General Mills wants to sponsor, we apologize.
Nah, I grew up poor, so you get that shredded wheat for free.
Yeah.
And that's all you have, so you had to switch it up. You go hot milk, cold milk, little butter and some sugar. That shredded wheat, delicious. Oh.
You gotta add butter and sugar to the cereal. I don't want it.
That's why I don't like grits.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, that was it. What we got?
That's it. Now we about to get into it. We want to know about you.
Oh, okay. I thought we had
no. This is icebreaker. You want some more rapid fires? What you want? All right, I got one. Tell me a dog that doesn't bite.
A dog that doesn't bite.
Mm-hmm.
Me.
You said me?
How so?
You talking about like you?
Yeah. I'm a dog.
Oh, okay. But you don't bite.
I don't bite.
It's a hot dog, stupid.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You want some more?
I like that. I'm going to use that.
Yeah,
I
bet you are. All right. Sure. Hey, how many months have 28 days?
All of them have 28 days.
Good job.
He's on his P's and Q's.
He on his Q's. I don't know about
you
his
know
P's.
The P's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have my degree in the background. I'm a UC Berkeley guy. Pac-12. Let's go.
Y'all still in the Pac-12?
Come on, man. We down. We rebuilding.
Rebuilding phase, right, that's always
you. Hey, you mentioned it. Not me. You mentioned it.
10-year rebuilding.
10 years. The long haul.
Hey,
the long haul.
They only claim the fame. Uh-huh. Aaron Rodgers.
Mm. Come on now. Deshaun Jackson, Marshawn Lynch.
I'm just telling you what I've been there, that's all they claim.
Wasn't Marshawn your roommate?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
That's funny.
What are you talking about?
I know this.
I'm talking about hilarious.
That's got to be.
Well, hell, me and him in the same light.
Exactly. I'm going to say, I'm like, well, you and I. Like, oh, you close with Steve Smith? What that's like?
What is that like?
You know, our first encounter with one another was interesting because we talk about we're at a conference. We're at a PAO conference. It's like a, you know, couples conference. Christians couple conference that we do every year in ministry and workshop and all those things. And yeah, during the workshops throughout the day, we have time to play basketball, just like some free time, downtime to hang out. And me and Steve were guarding each other.
No, you were guarding me. I wasn't guarding you.
Yeah. Well, he couldn't. That was the issue. Like he couldn't hold me out
that's
there.
That's right. I couldn't.
So I guess I may have kind of, I was a little aggressive.
That is the first time he's told the truth of the story. And how many years we've been friends? This is the first time. Man, the Lord is working on him. God bless you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I may have been a little bit aggressive. And one of the times he had to stop playing, just like looked at me and was like, hey, man, you got to ease up a little bit. And I was like, okay, I'm going to ease up. I'm going to respect it because it's Steve Smith's scene. So I backed up a little bit. But ever since then, I felt like, okay, Steve Smith, I mean, he's a turd. And then we got the chance to...
Steve Smith, he's a turd. I think that's the name of this episode.
You see how he went? Do you see how that went? I asked him to stop being aggressive because it's not that kind of party. And he goes, Steve Smith's a turd. Continue. Yeah.
That's going to be next on our merch line.
So, yeah, just use his face. So long story short, we ended up playing on the same team in Baltimore in 2014 and 15, and a little bit of 16. We got a chance to, when our lockers were right next to each other. So, I mean, right off the bat, I could tell that this guy's, you know, as advertised, crazy competitor, like just every day, bringing energy, his work ethic was crazy. And at this time, he had to be at least, you know, 48, 50 at the time we were playing with one another. And
since you're a spring chicken.
Yeah. It was like to see his work ethic and his grind every day, it was impressive. But what was more impressive was just seeing the man behind the helmet. Like you see like Steve Smith, you know, you see these cut-ups, you know, highlights on NFL Network, and to see the heart of the man, like that was what drew me in. It's like, man, this guy like really cares for his family. This guy has a unique story and backline, and he cares for his teammates in a real way. And he'll give you the shirt off his back. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, just like my relationship with Marshawn and anybody else, like, it's all about authenticity and real, and that's usually the connecting point. And I think that because I was 100% myself and he was 100% himself, we connected and he had a bond and a friendship, a brotherhood. So, man, I got nothing but positive things to say about Steve Smith Sr.
Man, he's good. We had some interesting conversations on and off the field, but, hell, we had a lot of interesting conversations in the huddle, too.
Yeah, on the
field. Like, he'll be trying to talk. Like,
we'll do tell.
Like, for a sec, shut up, dog. Yeah.
Like, he holding him back. Like, I'm trying to get him kicked out of a game.
Like, for a sec, like, come on, stay. I'm like, bro, if you don't get off of me, like, bro, get out of the way.
He was trying to be the good Samaritan.
Yeah, he's trying to get a good Samaritan. But let somebody do something, though, to him. Uh-huh. All right, Steve, go get
That wasn't the case. We didn't have much of that going on.
Yeah, but it was fun.
I mean, you've had a lot of encounters with a lot of players. Then Justin, how easy or difficult is it to have those authentic relationships in the league?
Man, it's how you make it, right? I feel like because I was on seven teams, I got a chance to meet a lot of different people. And I invested my time and, you know, energy and like wanted to make sure that I just didn't stop a place and it was transactional, but it is actually, you know, transformative where I can have, you know, these lifelong bonds that I have. So whether it was somebody that needed help on their charity or a camp, football camp, I was going to be there to serve. Like, my mission inside the locker room and on the football field was to try to, you know, have impact and, you know, hopefully somebody can see the light inside of me and inspire them to be better and do better. And so I spent time with those relationships. So it wasn't that hard for me, honestly, to have those.
I love Cut To It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com, where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. CutToItPodcast.com.
First he changed music, then he changed the world. The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and legacy of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. In this powerful and uplifting film, discover Bob Marley's story of overcoming adversity and the journey behind his revolutionary music that changed the world. If you missed it in theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, now on Paramount Plus. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Being on 7 teams, though, psychologically, what did that do to you? And I said, asked with such a broad spectrum because I don't know. You know, I mean, I kind of can assume, but I want to make a idiot out of myself. But I'm just wondering, you know, I did not, I'm not saying it the wrong way. I didn't have that, right? Sure. So I can't imagine that. I remember at that little small moment, you know, G, you know, is that when you get released, there's a, you know, or you get fired, whatever the case may be, the transition of jobs, it's, you know, it does something to you. But you got that 7 times.
Yeah.
What'd that do to you?
Man, it put a chip on my shoulder. You know, I was already undersized coming into the league, right? Wasn't supposed to make it long as, you know, a 5'8", 195 pound running back.
Hold on. So you finally said your real height, 5'8". Okay, continue.
It fluctuates. So what it did was it was kind of, one, it told me that, you know, the league is not loyal. Like, there's no team that's loyal, right? Loyal to a degree. And for me, it was kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been stuck in a friend zone. Maybe you guys never had that problem, right? Mm-mm, it was like these teams were like.
I'm completely BSing.
Yeah. ever stuck in the friend zone. It was like that, man. It was like they liked my service. They liked what I provided to the team, but it wasn't enough for an investment, a long-term committed, you know, with partnership or relationship with me. And that built up a callus, right? And it feels like at times, it's like, man, when am I going to find that like one true spot or team that say, man, I'm going to bet on Justin. I love what he brings to the table and he's worth it. So I was just like really fighting every year to have like, you know, that place where I could call home and have stability for my family. And, you know, until I found that place, you know, at the tail end of my career in Baltimore, where I got a chance to have that commitment and, you know, have a place where I can at least feel solid for a few years. It felt good. But up until that point, it was a dogfight.
So take us backwards. You know, where are you from in the place you call your hometown?
Hometown, Mulberry, Florida, 3,000 people. Right in the central Florida, right between Tampa and Orlando. Phosphate mining is big there. Not a lot of people make it out to accomplish their dreams, goals, and aspirations in life, but hardworking people, humble beginnings, family financially unstable. for most of my life, bouncing around from place to place, never owned a home. I remember times when I had to take baths with bottled waters, Zephyr Hills water bottles down in Florida. I remember doing my homework by candlelight because our power bill was a light bill. We couldn't pay it, so it was shut off. I remember running from Repo Man, and you know, my parents put me on the call on the phone to answer Repo Man and tell them that we're not here, or we're parking the car down the street in order to walk home.
Yep.
And then at our very lowest, being homeless, living out of a motel at the age of 12, 13, where, you know, all five of us, it was family of three boys. I was the middle child, and living in this motel at the edge of town. And, you know, just at that moment in my life, was trying to make a decision, declaring that I was going to have more for myself and for my family, my future family. So, yeah, that was me growing up. But faith-driven home, dad was a pastor. So, you know, I got kind of that foundation laid earlier, just like knowing that, you know, I had to have extreme faith, not only myself, but in God, but also I got to put the work in, and it's going to take a lot of discipline and commitment. And I saw that from my parents, whether my dad was having a restaurant, he was preaching and driving trucks. My mom, like, I just saw them do a lot of different jobs and to make way for us. So just like that work ethic was instilled in me early. So it really pushed me to be more for me, for myself.
What do you think your family heirlooms are? What is your folks hand down to you that you're now handing down to your children?
I would say just that. I was nothing like physical, right? But it was just like that. My faith, like, was one, like an early age that was instilled in me, that I passed down to my kids, that work ethic, right? That I just talked about, like, that is something that has been ingrained in me. Like, nothing comes, there's no substitute for hard work, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not putting in the work in, you know, nothing good is going to come from it. So I try to pass down to my kids. And then also just being not afraid of being different, right? Just walking into my, like, authenticity and not being okay with not fitting in.
Yeah.
Like, those are the things that, you know, I try to pass on that my parents instilled in me, that I try to instill into my kids.
I mean, speaking of that, you mentioned you were a minister's child, and there's always kind of this stereotypical label of being a PK, being a preacher's child.
Yeah, he died.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you were that stereotypical? How did that affect your, not only your childhood, but now looking back on it, how did it affect your career and ultimately life?
No, I mean, for me, like, I think a lot of people, you know, when you talk about the PKs going wild or...
No, you're not a PK wild. You're a PK like he is. He's a... Like, not knowing of him and his history, observing him and seeing this authenticity, hearing him speak. And then when he says, you know, then when I found out he's a preacher's kid, then I go, oh, it connected the dots. Yep. But now as a parent, I think I'd rather have a PK kid to connect those dots than having someone else that isn't, you know what I mean? Like, cause what I mean by that is being a father of four kids, two of them out the house, one on his way out. Bam is 6'1", by the way, just letting you know.
I saw him dunking the other day.
It's crazy, dog. And seeing that, I was talking to a buddy at an event, and he said, man, all these guys, kids that we know that are well off, he said, man, every single one of their kids is not living life the way he raised them. And so just looking at that, like, me and Angie are very thankful that, you know, we got some of the kids that we have. But then looking at, you know, just knowing Justin and what he experienced as his friend, I'm like, you know, looking at a hindsight, I'd rather have a PK kid, you know, a preacher's kid, than someone who has no home trainer, who has no guidelines, because it's almost you're going backwards. And just watching him and seeing him, and his foundation is so strong. It's like, you know, he does have the innate ability to identify and socialize with every type.
It created boundaries for me, honestly, you know, throughout my journey. Like, I knew that I was different, you know, because a lot of people say when you, especially if you grow up in, like, faith community, a lot of people say when you go to college, people lose their religion, right? You know, and I don't believe that. I believe that, you know, kids go to college and they lose their parents' religion. So they never owned it for themselves. So for me, I owned it for myself. Like I had a relationship. Like I felt like I was doing, like I was trying to do as much as I could to get close to God, have my own personal relationship, my own journey with him. And I had that early on. So knowing that and walking in that, I was okay and confident and bold in my faith and not afraid to be different. And there's some places I couldn't go, things I couldn't do. And I was okay with that, right? I might have been made fun of, or, you know, I was known as the guy in the locker room that's like, especially going up into college and even part early on in my career. Like I waited to have sex until I got married, you know? So I was that guy in the locker room where, like, if going to the club or, you know, people wanted to do certain things. And I was just like, I can't, you know, I'm not doing it. I don't, it's not that I can't. It's just like, I just don't want to.
You choose not to. Right?
Yeah. I chose not to.
We've been in a locker too. You're like, Steve, can you just not cuss at him? And then he's the challenger. He's like, you can't do it, huh? And some days I'll be like, nah, I can't.
Right. And it's all about, and like for me, every situation was like, you know, how can I have impact? Like anything that happened to me, I wasn't going to allow it to define me. I was going to allow it to refine me. So I always had like this spiritual like connection that drew me in. Like, okay, I've been rejected here. People tell me I couldn't make it here, but I know what like God says about me and who I am. And I know I had that, like, it's like this superpower, is like this equalizer that I had within me. It's like in any situation I could have peace and I can overcome because of it. So that's kind of how I walk.
That's dope, man.
Take me through this. It's superpower boy. Take me through this one. On signing day in college back in 1575, Notre Dame pulls their scholarship offer from you. Man, walk us through that.
It was heartbreaking, man. And I tell the story often is that, you know, as a 17-year-old kid, you know, feeling that you're going to Notre Dame and your family is excited, you're excited. And then a week before signing day, they told me they didn't need me anymore. I was crushed. I remember going down into my
basement. Who was the head coach? Lou Holtz?
No, it was Ty Willingham.
Dang. Black on black crime. Continue.
Yeah. So it was difficult, but it was that was like a pivotal point within my journey as a man and as a, you know, a young man at the time, because at that point I went down to my basement, I was crying, I was praying. I remember doing that time vividly where I just like, God, you got to show me something. I'm the guy that's going to Bible study. I'm going praying every night. Like I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to be doing, right? But it seems like you're blessing everybody else but me. And I said, God, you got to show me something. And at that moment, I just flipped open the Bible and took me to Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And I know this is not like a, you know, faith-based podcast, but I'm gonna get this off. It was Proverbs 3 talks about.
Hold on. Excuse me?
I'm going to get this verse off, okay?
Yeah.
Proverbs 3, 5. Chill, man. Why you got to go there?
You said, you know, it's not a faith-based podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, we faith based. We just we sprinkle it in so to keep hiding it. Oh no, it's all we on the slab. Our slab is built on the solid rock. Last time I checked. I mean, Joe is Catholic, but other than that, we good. He's not a practicing Catholic, but he's still
dang. Man, ran him over and you put it in reverse.
All of a sudden, I'm dancing with snakes. Right. Like, what just happened?
Hallelujah.
All right, continue, ugly.
But the verse, Proverbs, it talks about trust the Lord God with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. And at that point, as I was reading that text, it was as if like I felt this warm sensation come over my body. It felt like God was wrapping his arms around me, and I never felt anything like that in my life. And at a moment after I got done praying, like nothing externally had ever, like my situation hadn't changed, but internally it felt like everything had changed. So just that fresh perspective, I was going to excel at what I could control, and I knew God had a plan for me. And then, you know, months down the road, Cal, UC Berkeley, you know, calls and offers me a scholarship in May when signing day is in February, and you know, I'm off to college.
I mean, what did Notre Dame say other than, you know, that they said they didn't need you anymore? What explanation did they have, or did they have any?
it wasn't much other than, you know, they had, you know, some backs that signed that they didn't think was going to sign.
Okay. So what, going through that process, you know, just really looking at it, what do you think the state of college sports and the NFL, just from your perspective of a guy, how does college sports hurt the no names? You know what I'm saying? Because we look on television, we see all these people, they get to choose the hat. But what about all the kids who don't get to choose the hat? What about the kids who, like yourself, like myself, where we're hoping a dream and a prayer that somebody will give us an opportunity, because that's the only way we can get to college, is by someone offering a scholarship, because how much it costs and the, you know, and the lack of resources. Hell, we could barely keep the lights on, let alone go off to out-of-state colleges.
Yeah. No, it's tough. You know, if you don't get a scholarship, you know, it's really hard from people in underserved communities.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're from a small town, it can be even harder, right, to shine and, you know, get that exposure. But I feel like there's a lot of different opportunities now for kids, even more so than I had, as far as technology and getting your tape out there.
Yeah.
That if in social media, that it's a lot better than when we had coming up. But there's still a lot of work to be done. I mean, they're still going to get kids that are going to get overlooked. There's still stories like mine that are happening, you know, over and over again, year after year, year and year again after signing day. So, man, I don't know what can be done to, you know, help that, just because it's only a couple of colleges, you know, it's a couple thousand colleges and millions of kids want to play this game that we love. And, you know, so I don't know, man. I just say if guys can excel at what they can't control, and just focus on, you know, being the best version of yourself and, you know, utilizing and leveraging the technology that they have out there now, like it's really a better opportunity for you to be seen, even if you're small.
Cut to it, cut to it, let's get down to it, cut to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from CutToItPodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
First he changed music, then he changed the world. The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and legacy of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. In this powerful and uplifting film, discover Bob Marley's story of overcoming adversity and the journey behind his revolutionary music that changed the world. If you missed it in theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going
to
pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Well, you're going to Florida, you know, being raised a little bit in Texas, so you've had a lot of both worlds. But, man, you act like it, and you want to be from the West Coast, man. How was that experience for you, just being coming far south, then in Texas, and then going to Cal State Berkeley is interesting, because at that time, I mean, it is like – let's be honest, Cal State Berkeley is everything hippie Like all the hippie stuff you think is time that is times that.
Put some respect on our name. It is UC Berkeley. There is no state in our name.
Y'all, okay, I'm sorry. Your sports play like it's a state school. I apologize.
We are a public school. We just no state. But it was definitely a
y'all play football. Y'all playing football currently right now like Cal State Fullerton. That's what y'all
playing football like. I cannot knock you there. For us, it was a culture. It was a culture shock for me because I come from Bible Belt. I came from the South, and then going to the West Coast, and I'm out hanging out with folks. And, you know, my first people I'm meeting, you know, I meet a run up with a young kid out of Oakland, California, named Marshawn Lynch, who we're in roommates together. And we were going and hanging out, and people talking about this hyphy movement and Matt Dre and Keith DeSneak and like, all this stuff. I'm like, man, I'm from, I don't even know. I know Kirk Franklin, Kirk Hampton, Grits.
So praise is what you do.
Hey, he was over there. He was over there praying while I was in there. Hey, for Shizzle, man. Yeah. Hey.
Now you know, we had in Florida. You know, Trick Daddy was huge. Lil Wayne is still like doing the South. So I had no like. It was just a whole different culture for me. Yeah. But again, like I talked about earlier with us, like people really respect authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just 100% myself. Like
which
I had
was
a
good
heavy
enough.
Accent. Heavy accent coming in, and you know, they came and they embraced me, like because I worked hard. I was a good teammate, and I enjoyed it. Like I met my wife there. The people were great. Food was great. The school was amazing. So you know, I just tried to make my mark. You know, didn't conform to the culture, but I was able to have impact.
Hey boy, it's funny though.
Culture shock.
For sure, is it? It's funny, is he a good dude, but it's a lot of the relationship I love with Forsett that we have is we can talk about anything. Mm-hmm. We can argue over cereal. But just he's engaging and he more than anything, he meets you where you're at. Mm-hmm. And you don't get a lot of people like that. Especially in the league. You don't get a lot of people. So
when you say he meets you where you're at, what do you mean by it?
Me and Forsett have had a lot of, I struggle with my faith, just straight up. And it's not that I struggle with my faith is in, like, I don't believe in God. I struggle with my faith is in, and me and Forsett had this conversation too, is so many Christians who try to, like, you know, they'll try to say things sometimes. Oh, you ask, man, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed.
Blessed and highly favored.
Yeah, blessed and highly favored. And there's been times where we've been injured, and he's like, man, how do you really feel?
Yeah,
and there's no judgment in like, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. And it's like, man, but I just got my foot cut off, so I'm struggling today.
Today sucks.
Yes. Yeah. And to have that, okay. You know, and there's some people like, bro, I guess he's not always on. He's just for set. Mm-hmm. Where you can talk and you can question, you can ask, and we can talk about anything. And it's different versus blessed and highly favored. And then it's like, but okay, yeah, you. I know we all are, but some days it's a tough day. And what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Right? Like you not going to Notre Dame and going down the basement and crying and asking God, you know, why are you blessing all these other people but me? And I've done this and that. Like that's true transparency. Mm-hmm. That's what I think sometimes people forget. That Christ did that when he was like, I cannot, can I find another way other than this way that you're saying that I have to go? Mm. And sometimes people forget that in the Bible. People want to be Job, but they forget that Christ even cried. They go, oh, I'm Job. Man, man, you ain't Job. And stop acting like you Daniel, too. Ain't no lion's den, no round near here. Right? And it's just some of that. So it's just really cool to... That, like I just said, who he is who he is, right? And it's you don't have to hide who you are. And you can have those. What you say?
I say I appreciate it, man. That's kind words, man.
You had you're authentic, right? I'm not saying that other people aren't, but sometimes it's you know, Sometimes it's different, and Forsett's the same way, right? Like, we could joke, people listening to this, and they'd be like, man, them dudes calling each other ugly and turd. Like, but we'll joke around, but at the end of the day, we got each other's back.
Yeah.
Facts.
You know?
That's dope. That's dope. Justin, what are some things you've gleaned from your relationship with Steve?
Oh, man, so much. And that's why I find it's important for us to connect and build relationships with people that, you know, that are, you know, opposite of us in a lot of ways, because there's so much that we can learn from anybody out there, right? So Steve, for me, he really challenged me to get out of my comfort zone. And I feel like even now, this my time with him allowed me to be a better CEO, because, like, for me, like, my past, like, I'm non-confrontational, and, like, my disposition is, like, you know, I'm coming to make, you know, peace in a situation. And I feel like even in the, it reminds me of just, like, Jesus was tender and tough. And I feel like in that side, like, Steve really pushed me to be more outspoken, to be more bold, and it being okay, like, for conflict. And if things aren't okay, it's okay to say that. And as a man, as a husband, as a CEO, as now being more mature than even I was then, like, I really embrace that. Like, because there's a such thing as healthy conflict, and things do need to be addressed. And things aren't going right, you need to voice your opinion and say so, right? And I just feel like the way he lived his life is, like, it's bold, it's passionate. And I aspire to be more like that in a lot of ways. So,
but people think also I'm reckless though.
No,
like, people, you know what I'm saying? Like, people think that I'm just, like, just reckless, and I do admit I do sometimes give people the perception of what I can read off them, what they believe I am. But
that's calculated, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. I feel like I'll play to the audience.
Yeah,
and don't and play them straight up into dumb mode, because then flip the script on him. And then it's like, oh.
Steve is very smart and is very into, like, the minute details of things. Like, if you want to go granular about any type of subject, he can go there with you. I watched him handling business calls, doing, you know, physical therapy in the training room. And I watch him hold people accountable. And I watch him being able to hold conversations with people in other industries and be there and be at the same level. So just his well-roundedness, of course, everybody sees the passion, but there's a reason behind, you know. It's not none of the things that, at least I've been around, or have been anything that wasn't, you know, that was frivolous. So,
yeah. Will you tell us about your entrepreneurial endeavors? You mentioned you're a CEO, being able to take away.
Yeah, what are you a CEO of?
So I'm a CEO of a mission-driven self-care brand called Hustle Clean. What we do is we create convenient products with clean ingredients for the everyday athlete and fitness enthusiast. And it's really a spin, like, to really empower and give resources to the community that wants to be more out of life without compromising their health. So there's this hustle culture out there where people feel like, man, in order to be successful, you got to work yourself to the bone, and you got to be you don't have time for yourself to, like, refuel and recharge. And, like, we're trying to, you know, debunk that narrative by providing this continuum of, like, self-care where people can recharge and regroup and then go attack life. But if you don't put your oxygen mask on before you put, you know, on your kids or the people around you, then what good are you, you know, if you're gone? So that's what we try to be. We try to be that oxygen mask for that hustler out there that's trying to go after life in a, you know, a very impactful way, but do it, you know, in a productive way, in a healthy, safe way.
What have you learned in your business that you wish you had applied while you were playing? Is that long of a list? Is that long of a list?
I say there's a lot of similarities between sports and business. And one of the things that I see similar, and I posted this today, is that entrepreneurs, they just like sports and football athletes, they a lot of times place their identity in what they do. And for me, at one point, it was changing hats, right? I went into one profession and I got consumed by everything, you know, put my football helmet down and I got consumed by everything that is entrepreneurship and neglecting a lot of things that I mean most well is family. You know, at one point I was 70 flights in the air in a year and traveling a lot. And for me, what I wish I could go back and, you know, apply is just making sure that I'm prioritizing and I'm spending more time in those things that matter most for me, like I'm doing now. So I create my own schedule. Like I don't have somebody else creating a schedule for me for football. So I'm able to get my family time in when I'm coaching my sons in flag football, whether I'm doing date night with my wife, whether I'm, you know, playing in an activity for my community or my church. Like I'm able to do that because I think that there's something special about us pausing in life and spending time on those things that really matter the most, which, you know, like your family, your kids and your loved ones, because I can make all the money. Like I'm trying to make money, you know, I'm not in a nonprofit space, right? I'm trying to make money for my investors and for my team.
Hear, hear. You know,
for my family. but I value the way I go about it. Like I'm not like I purpose is just as important to me as profit. So the way in which I go about success is different than probably your other entrepreneurs that you may see out there on your Forbes and your LinkedIn. Like, I want to make sure that I'm doing it the right way. Like, for me to have success and have a $1 billion business and lose my family, it's not worth it for me, right? So, but I think you can have success and take care of your family, and you can do it in a positive way.
So, what's your definition of success?
I knew he was going to have a good one, too. I saw you.
That wasn't what I was going to ask.
No, but I saw the hamster.
He walked into it.
No, your hamster was turning.
I had like three spades. But when I saw him play that little, I know I had that big. I went ahead and threw it because I wasn't going. I had to have that book.
No, for me, it's walking in my purpose and calling. Like, I feel like in my life, like my gifts are to inspire and encourage. Like, so whichever vehicle, wherever hat I'm wearing, at one point it was football. Like that was my vehicle in which I can really inspire and encourage people. Now in entrepreneurship, I'm able to inspire and encourage people. So as long as it's meeting those things, like I'm successful, I'm happy in my family. Am I inspiring my family to newborn be better? Am I encouraging them during down times? Am I helping people reach their potential in life? Like it has to fit that. So that's success to me. That's what I value most is this me walking in. I feel like my God-given calling.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up, man. So what have you learned? Well, this will be the last question. I know you got to get out of here, but what have you learned?
Yeah, we'll let you get out early, even though you was late to us. Go ahead.
What have you learned from? What have you learned from any failure in life?
I say this all the time. I say greatness grows best in the shadows. And what I mean by that is that we don't get our greatest gains in life when we're at the top of the mountain. We get our greatest gains in life when our climb and our pursuit to the top. Those moments when we're constantly being pulled and stretched and we have to fight opposition and adversity and we have to dig deeper than ourselves and pull out things that we even know existed in order to take us to the next level in life. So we have to learn how to embrace the difficulty. We have to embrace the trial because those things will push us closer to our dreams and our goals in life if we have the right perspective. You know, ease is a greater threat to progress, you know, than hardship. So I would much rather embrace those moments of adversity and tough times than not, because that's where we get our greatest growth.
Man, well, we appreciate your time, man. I know, you know, you got to go, but it's cool talking to my brother, man. It's cool talking to you. It's cool seeing the great things you're doing. I like messing with you because that's what we do. But
that's what we do, man.
It's always cool to see you.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me on the show, man. And like even from afar, and you know, I just want to give you your flowers, man, for what you continue to do. And I think that boxes are for things, not people. So I love the way you keep expanding yourself as a man, as I see you on this podcast, as I see you on TV, you know. You have not been limited by, you know, your background and your platform of being a football player. To see you be a great father and a husband, It's inspiring. It's encouraging to me every day. So thank you, man.
Appreciate you, man. It's one of those things, man. You know, when I left Carolina coming to Baltimore, I was wondering if I fit in, you know, not just in the – I felt like I fit in the locker room, but I was wondering what I fit in just as a person. And I enjoyed my time in Carolina. It was 13 years. But one of the things that was really cool and unique about Baltimore, and we both agree, is Baltimore cultivates this brotherhood that is not a lot of places. And I know Panther fans don't want to hear that, but it's not a lot of places. Justin has been on seven teams. He's seen a lot of people trying to play football. But Baltimore, even if they don't have success, they understand they make – you make some lifetime friends. And there's some guys, man, in that locker room, win, lose, or draw. There's some dudes that, like, I would go down a dark alley with. And I know everybody says that about me, but there's some dudes, and Justin was one of those guys. He'll strike you in the name of the Lord, but at the end of the day, he's one of those guys, when you talk about having your back, it's not having your back to be in a fist fight. It's having your back that somebody you can rely on. And I'm going to tell you, not all football players are reliable. Not all of them are tough. Not all of them are smart. Not all of them are dumb. Not all of them are shorter, out of shape, whatever the case may be. But Justin is one of those guys. He's reliable on and off the field. And I appreciate you, man.
Love, man. All right. Appreciate you.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It. Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., that is me, is a production of Cut to It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut to It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Sho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut to It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Labreck, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Cause you know it's on.
It's on.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.